My hearing aids are in, so I think I'm loud when I'm not. The scripture today, first reading, Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm tonight is 138, and it will be read responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name.
Because of your love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name.
And your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me.
You strengthened my strength within me.
All the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth.
They will sing of the ways of the Lord.
That is the glory of the Lord.
Though the Lord will be high, he cares for the lowly.
He perceives the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe.
You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me.
The Lord will make good his purpose for me.
O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is Romans, starting verse 11:33. On the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he may be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he thought ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does act of mercy, with cheerfulness, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise.
Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, gracious God, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. So when we look at the Gospel of Matthew this evening, Matthew has Jesus kind of taking a step back. You know, he's been living 30-some years and he's been doing all kinds of ministry, but it's really a time for Jesus to pause. Really, it's a time for Jesus to take an evaluation of what's going on. As we know, how many of you have been watching The Chosen? Good stuff. Got to watch The Chosen. Because it kind of shows how Jesus is taking his disciples and he's developing them. Anyway, Jesus has been with his disciples. He's been teaching them. He's been listening to them. And he's been reaching out to all kinds of people with his disciples. And there's this divine energy that's just coming off of Jesus and getting out into the world. An energy that includes passion for justice, healing and compassion for all people, acceptance of the unacceptable. Yes, something special has been happening in the life of Jesus. And even when the good times are happening, we all know it's probably a good time or very important, if not essential, for you and I to step back and ask questions such as, what is really happening? Where have I been? Where do I want to go? What is life all about? In a similar way, Jesus is asking the disciples to take kind of a step back question on what they're doing. And so he asks his disciples, "So when you're out and about, who do people say that I am?" And we know in the gospel text, they say, "Well, Jesus, you know, according to public opinion polls, some say that you are John the Baptist, or maybe like John the Baptist. Others think that maybe you're that great prophet Elijah that's come back. And still others think that maybe you're that ornery Jeremiah, that prophet." In other words, Jesus, you know, according to the popular opinion, you're probably going to be on Mount Rushmore of Jewish prophets. You know, Jesus, you're really making a name for yourself. You're really going places, Jesus. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, how easy it would have been just to stop there. Jesus was trending and going viral and lighting up the social media of the first century. Everything looked positive. What more does he want? Yet Jesus wasn't taking a poll. What Jesus is really getting at is he wanted his disciples to go a little deeper, to a deeper place that they had not explored yet. And so he turns to them and he asks this very penetrating question. But who do you say that I am? We know Peter, right? Peter's always, boom, right there. Hey, I know who you are. You are the Messiah, the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, Peter, right answer. That is right, Peter. But you know what, Peter? I don't want you to tell anybody. Why? Why does Jesus silence a perfectly good answer? Well, it's a puzzle, to be sure. But I think it suggests the right theological words, but it doesn't guarantee the right theological content. Because after you say words, you have to understand their meaning. You know, when it comes to faith, it means everything. So what does it mean to say that Jesus is Christ? Have you ever pondered that? More and more when I think about that, I think of that, well, Christ is not just a person, and it's not just a title, and it's certainly not the last name of Jesus, right? No, Christ is the word that names divine energy. Divine energy that is released out into the world because of the life of Jesus. Just as the stars explode and new planets are formed, have you ever looked at the Hubble and looked at those galaxies that are still being created? The life of Jesus is a constant Christ energy of constellations being developed and released into the world, and this energy is still changing people today. This is nothing less than an energy of God. Compassion exploded into the world through the life of Jesus. Unconditional love, inexhaustible grace was released into the world through the life of Jesus. Creative, transforming, inspiring goodness was released again through Jesus into the world. And so much so that I think that Jesus Christ is more like a Christ burst. You know, he's always creating something new. A burst of God's energy to shape the world with one heart, through one person, into one community at the same time. You see, anyone can say that Jesus is Christ, right? Anyone can say that. It's very easy. But can you find the energy? It's the energy of Christ that matters the most, you see. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in the lesson for tonight. It's that energy, the Christ energy. I remember reading a story. Remember when AIDS was really something? When somebody got contracted with AIDS, there was no cure, right? It was, you were on your deathbed, right? And I remember reading this article of this guy that reached out to his dear friend. She had lived kind of a iffy life, and she had AIDS, and she was dying. And so he thought, this would be a good opportunity to have my pastor go over there and talk to her. Now, as a pastor, that's not always a good thing. if you don't know the person, right? But the pastor went, and it worked out fairly well. When the pastor met her, she said, you know, I really messed up my life. I made so many mistakes. How could God ever forgive me? Pastor listened to her, gave the pastor response, right? God can forgive anyone at any time. You just have to trust it. You just have to receive it. You just have to embrace it. You just have to feel the presence of God. Woman said, you know, I think I'm beyond believing it. Now, I don't know. I know we got a pastor sitting back there. Sometimes you get these things that you go, okay, God, give me an answer. Give me something to say. And so what he did is he looked around the room and he noticed a picture on the dresser. And he said, hey, I see you got a picture on your dresser. Who is that? Well, that's my 12-year-old daughter. And she said, you know, she's the most beautiful thing that I have in my life. So this pastor said, well, let me ask you a question. Let's say your daughter made a mistake and did some things that were wrong and she was hurting and broken. Wouldn't you forgive her? Wouldn't you come close to her and still love her? Wouldn't you still want her to be in your life? The woman whispered, well, of course, yes. And then this pastor made this kind of theological move. He said, well, I want you to know that God has your picture on his dresser. And God still loves you. And you're not alone. You see, that's Christ energy. Every time we treat another person with dignity and respect, and every time we bring a little compassion to another human being, especially a human being who is hurting and broken, every time we offer love in a way of life, we bring Christ to others. And that great Christ burst that started centuries ago is still living today. Think about Christ as creative, transforming, inspiring energy. Has really two different directions for those who profess Christ as their Lord and Savior. On the one hand, it is a gift that we receive, right? Faith is a gift. And I might add, it's a gift that all of us need. And the reason why is because we're all broken by the challenges of this life. At times we're lonely, at times we're insecure, at times we're anxious, at times we're hurt, we're angry, we're bitter. Yet to believe in that great energy burst of Christ in our lives is to believe that God really has a heart of love for you and I. That he has grace for you and I. That he offers forgiveness and kindness. Yes, we receive that faith as a gift from God. But this is the second part. We're all called to share it. Sharing Christ. You know, we do that a lot of times, right? We talk about Christ. We quote the Bible about Christ. Sometimes we get into conversations where we try to convert somebody to Christ. The older I get, where I think the gospel text is going, is that we share Christ in what we do for another human being. That is to say, we find ways that are right for us to release Christ out into the world. There's an old Jewish tale, and it's about this rabbi. He has his students, and he asks them a question. He said, "Well, students, can you tell me, when a new day has dawned upon the earth? Can you tell me when a new day has dawned upon the earth?" One student was pretty quick. "Well, you can tell it's a new day when there's enough light to see the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree." The old rabbi was like, "Well, that's good, but not quite the right answer." Another student chimed in and said, "Rabbi, you can tell it's a new day when you look down the road and you can tell whether it's an animal, whether it be a fox or a dog." Rabbi goes, "Well, a good answer, but not quite what I'm looking for." And he looked at every one of his students. And finally he said, "You know, it's a new day when there is enough light that allows you to see the face of another human being. And looking upon that face, you see your brother or sister. Until that happens, it will still remain night." For the purposes of our gospel text, I would like to tweak that story a little bit and simply say, it's a new day every time I can see the face of Jesus Christ in another human being. Whether it be that homeless person that I see when I take the rail to go and watch one of the Minnesota sports, whether I'm dealing with a troubled church member, whether I'm working with a perplexed family member, the day we see Christ in another is the day, a new day, that has dawned. To say that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is so easy. But to discover the energy, to receive it and to share it, that's really what the gospel is all about. I like Thomas Merton, theologian of the past. He said, "You know, Jesus was like a great magnifying glass. And through him, the light of God came to the world in a concentrated and beautiful way. And when we place our dry and brittle lives under the light, the spirit of each person comes ablaze with newness." And then he said to me, "That is the power of Jesus Christ, divine light, divine energy, and divine love that still combust within the complexity of the human heart, to know that energy and to share it with others is everything." Amen. Let us join our voices as we sing our hymn of the day, "As a Grain of Wheat."
Share the presence of
I invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Lord, help us to take up our cross and follow Christ, turning away from the ways of the world in order to put Jesus first in our lives. Conform our lives to his and continue to form us for service in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of light, grant your grace and mercy to all students, teachers, administrators, and aides who are returning to school. Ensure that each classroom would be a place of learning and growth. Bless all those who teach and all those who learn, that your knowledge would enlighten their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all glory, grant that those who hold offices of authority would govern with equity and honesty, serving the needs of their constituents and acting fairly amongst all peoples. Let their hearts be attuned to your Holy Spirit as you work in their lives to accomplish your will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of healing and wholeness, grant new life to those who are in pain, that their suffering would end and they would be rejuvenated. Give your peace to those who are distraught or dejected, that they might have the strength to face the day, trusting in your mercy and healing power. We remember especially
Phyllis, Lene, Jill.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers. Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.